Thank you, Brian. Morning, everybody. Love to see so many people on what is a damp and drizzly morning. Just one notice, really, before I hand over to Ron, who's going to lead our service. The coffee and cake yesterday for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee raised £120 for the Ladies Fellowship. And the Ladies Fellowship would very much like to thank everybody. So Pam and Sheila would say thank you all for your support. There are plenty of cakes left, as is always the case with these things. So if you'd like cakes to take home or afterwards, then please go and see Sheila and she will give you a carrier bag full. But yes, thank you very much. And I'll hand over to Ron.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Nice to see you. And a special welcome to those on Zoom and in the balcony, because they're waving back as well. But it's good to see you. And I just hope you've got your marmalade sandwiches ready at home with your drinks as we come to celebrate today. Now, we've got two things to celebrate today. The biblical thing is it's Pentecost, the anniversary of Pentecost. And that's what we'll be concentrating on. But also, we're not going to forget our Queen. We've 70 years on the throne, and you've probably seen some of the events that have taken place on the TV. And we're going to pray for the Queen and just be reminded of some of the prayers that the Queen's prayed for the church and for herself and her statement of faith for what she believes. And that's hopefully an encouragement to us. So let's open in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, today we celebrate the birthday of the church. The followers of Jesus waited behind locked doors, yet your Spirit came to them in power, changing them from a bewildered band into a proclaiming people. We pray for ourselves and for your whole church that we might be open to the empowering presence of your Holy Spirit, open to the gracious gifting of your Spirit, and open to the adventurous leading of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, as you filled those first Christians with an enthusiasm for the gospel of Jesus Christ, so infuse us that we go out into the streets and marketplaces of our world preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, all who heard the apostles' preaching understood in their own language. Fill us with a vision of the whole earth filled with your glory. Send us out to all people of every race and colour, rich and poor, powerful and oppressed, that we might be messengers of the gospel and servants of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, that first Christian community began a life of sharing in worship and in living. Fill us with a generous spirit, ready to share what we are and what we have with others. Break down our pride, that we might have the grace to receive from the riches of others. Holy Spirit, God with us, fill your people with power and love, vision and purpose, that we might be agents of your gospel for the whole world, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we're sharing the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to the time of trial, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our first song, today, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Just reminding ourselves of the holiness of the Lord God Almighty, who we've come to worship and praise and honour and glorify this morning. So let's stand and sing. Please sit down. Let's just come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Father, as we come before you this morning, we acknowledge that you are holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And on this Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we've come to worship and to praise you. And we just thank you, loving Father, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are merciful and mighty. And we just thank you for the fact that you are three in one. You're three persons in one, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, working together as one. And we just thank you, Father, for your love poured out for us, that you wanted us to know you personally through our faith in Jesus Christ. And you sent your Holy Spirit to help us and guide us and to lead us and draw us nearer to you. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love for us. And we just pray that this morning as we worship you and just be reminded of the anniversary of Pentecost and what you have done and what the Holy Spirit means to us today. Just move us on, Father, we pray, from where we are now to where you'd like us to be. Help us to take another step closer to you within your will and purpose and timing. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, "We Believe in God the Father, Maker of the Universe," just as a reminder of what we believe in. And of course, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let us stand and sing, "We Believe in God the Father, Maker of the Universe."
Son, our Saviour, come to us by virgin birth. We believe he died to save us, for our sins was crucified. Then from death he rose victorious, ascended to the Father's side. Jesus, Lord of all,
song we're singing is "Jesus Be the Center." On this anniversary of Pentecost, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to be at the center of our lives, of what we do, of what we say, of what we practice. Jesus be the center, be my light. Please sit down. May that be true for us all, that our desire is for the Lord Jesus to be at the centre of everything we do. Have any of you got this book? It's good that we've got a picture of it in there, isn't it? Our Faithful Queen, 70 Years of Faith and Service. It's a book that's been printed, arranged, got out, obviously, for this weekend. And it just outlines the Queen's faith over the 70 years that she's been our Queen. And I'm going to read, well, you're going to see it as well, I'm going to read out a couple of prayers that the Queen has prayed. The first one is prayed for the church, and the second one is taken from her Christmas message in 2002, which she talks about her faith. And often the Queen, in the Christmas message and other times, talks about her faith. And it's good to be reminded of that today. From page 27 of Our Faithful Queen, the Queen prayed for the church. Lord Jesus, there's the Queen speaking, grant me grace to defend the faith of thy church in my own heart and life, and with the whole company of the faithful, to promote the work of the church for the good of this people and the growth of our kingdom. Amen. And this is what the Queen has done for 70 years, isn't it? She's lived out the Christian life. She's spoken about her faith. She prays for the church and seeks to lead and guide and defend the faith. Also another prayer, talking about the Queen's own faith, from Christmas 2002. I know just how much I rely on my own faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give of my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God. Like others of you who draw inspiration from your own faith, I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel. And this is our Queen stating her faith publicly. And we would do well to practice what the Queen has prayed for herself. I thought we'd have a nice picture of the Queen. You've probably seen the extracts on the TV, and I thought it would be nice to see the Queen as she is. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer as we give thanks to God for the Queen. So let's pray. Loving Father, we do thank you indeed for our Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. We thank you, Father, that she has reigned for 70 years. We thank you for her faith and her willingness from a very young age to commit her life and her work to you and the people here in Great Britain and the Commonwealth. We just thank you, Father, for her faith. Thank you that it's not a silent faith. She is bold to speak about her faith and to state her faith. And we thank you for that. And we just thank you, loving Father, for honouring the Queen. Let me just thank you and pray for the Queen at this time. We pray that you will strengthen her and encourage her. May she take heart at the millions of messages of goodwill for her. And Great Britain's thanksgiving for her life and witness and service to us. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we continue to pray for other needs in our own. Loving Father, we pray for Ukraine. Over 100 days now of war. And there's, at the moment, intense fighting in the east of Ukraine. Father, we just pray again that you will bring peace to Ukraine. Father, we pray that you will thwart the attempts of Russia and what they're doing. And we thank you and pray that the world will continue to stand against Russia in what they've done. Father, we do pray for the people of Ukraine, having their land, their houses, their cities, their towns totally demolished. Father, we just pray that you will strengthen them. And we pray again for an end to this war and a peaceful settlement. And we pray for the people involved in the Bangladesh shipping container depot fire, with more than 34 killed and hundreds injured. Father, we pray that you will help the authorities get the fire under control and to learn from what has gone wrong so that this doesn't happen again. And Father, we pray for our government at this time and some of the difficulties they're facing. Father, we pray that they will turn to you. We pray for the Christian MPs, that their voices will be heard more and more. And Father, we just pray for each one of us here and for all of you on Zoom. You know every need of every person, whether we're here in the church or at home. Father, we just commit ourselves to you and ask as we seek you and we seek to put you in the centre of our lives, that we will know your peace and your presence with us and your guiding hand on us as we go through these coming weeks. Just be with us in very real ways, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing another song. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit revives the church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us. It starts with each one of us. And fit thy church to meet this hour. So let's stand and sing, O breath of life. Please sit down. Jan's going to come up now and read to us Acts 2, verses 1 to 13, as we are reminded again of the coming of the Holy Spirit.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthian, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'"
Thank you, Jen. If you can imagine the disciples, they've seen the crucifixion of Jesus. They've gone to the empty tomb. They're in fear of their lives. They're in an upper room. And the Holy Spirit came, which looked like tongues of fire resting on the disciples' heads. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We've sung about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three working as one together. Different functions, but working together totally as one unit. The effects of the Holy Spirit. The disciples spoke in other languages that they had not learnt. Instantly, the colleges would go out of business, wouldn't they? All these books about learning languages. The Holy Spirit comes and the disciples learn other language instantly. God at work through his Holy Spirit. The disciples were speaking with boldness and great effectiveness. They started off afraid, quiet, timid, in a locked room. The Holy Spirit comes upon them and they become alive, bold and speaking the word of God with great effectiveness. The coming of the Holy Spirit was personal and developed into disciples taking God's word to other people. It wasn't just for themselves, it's to take the word of God out. And this is how the Holy Spirit moved in the 11 disciples, which became 12, and it spread throughout the world. Christianity. And we became Christians through one of the 12 disciples going out. There must be a way to link both. Probably not, because the records aren't there. If we had computers 2,000 years ago, it'd be easy. But it's not. But we're related through our faith to the disciples. Incredible, isn't it? It started with them. And the Holy Spirit moving them out, speaking and preaching and teaching. and living the life of Jesus where they were. Now, the Holy Spirit brings reactions, as we've seen in the reading that Jan read to us from Acts 2. Some people were asking, what does this mean? At least they were open-minded. What is happening here? What does this mean? Some, as I'm sure we've all done at times, if you don't understand something, we can make fun of it. And some people were making fun of the disciples. Some accused the disciples of being drunk. How many people who are drunk can speak fluently in English, let alone another language they've not learnt? And it just brings a reality. When, not that any of you have been drunk, of course not, but when you've seen people drunk in films and pictures and things, they're staggering about, they've got difficulty in speaking. They literally don't know what day of the week it is half the time. These disciples weren't drunk. It was the effect of God's Holy Spirit moving in power, God moving in their lives. And some reactions, some were frightened, fearful, some were concerned, some were joyous because the Holy Spirit had come, some were dismissive. And some still dismissive today. Oh, the Holy Spirit, that's back in Jesus' time. We don't have the Holy Spirit today. Yes, we do. God is here. And the Holy Spirit is alive and work in every person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. The Holy Spirit is working. Sometimes we don't know enough about the Holy Spirit. We're not taught about the Holy Spirit. And we need to learn, and we're going to see about this as we go on this morning. Some people were pleased and they wanted to pray for the Holy Spirit. And it's something that we should be praying for, that the Holy Spirit becomes more alive in our lives. That we become more in tune with God through his Holy Spirit in what we do and say. And a question for us just on this anniversary of Pentecost. How do you react to God's Holy Spirit? Is it something you're grateful for, the coming of God's Holy Spirit? Fearful of, dismissive of, concerning, joyful? It's something we've got to work through in our lives. But God sends his Holy Spirit in power to empower the church. Not the building, the people. You and me. Across the churches. The coming of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of God's promise to pour out the Holy Spirit on all people who come to him through faith in Jesus Christ. And I've got some illustrations here. No illustrations are perfect. Nor are these. The Holy Spirit is like a seed. A seed may look dead. If you've taken some seeds and put some seeds in the ground, you open a packet, some are very minute, very small, you can hardly see them. Some are quite big. Some you put in the ground and you think, look a bit dried up and shriveled. But like a seed, It may look dead, but there's life inside it. It just needs the right conditions to germinate and grow and develop. Some seeds can last for years without growing, while other seeds germinate and grow very quickly. When we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit and may need to allow the Holy Spirit to develop in our lives. The Holy Spirit can also be like a plant. Have you got plants at home? Do you sometimes see them like that, forget to water them? The plants can't speak, but they tell you by their droopiness that, please water me. And certainly I've got some foxgloves that have self-sown in the garden. I put them in pots. And when it's been sunny, they've dried out and the leaves droop a bit. Reminder. Quick water, next day they're up fine. And sometimes we forget to water plants. Soon they begin to wilt, like they do in the picture. And if that does not remind us to water them, they will deteriorate. However, if we do water them, they often will pick up and continue growing and develop into proper plants. And we need to encourage, nurture, water the Holy Spirit in our lives so the Holy Spirit can develop and grow. And also the Holy Spirit is like radio waves, TV waves, the internet and Wi-Fi. Isn't it good? I'm speaking into this little speaker, microphone, and it's zooming over the airwaves and going up to the top and somehow into the system and then out through the speakers. We can't see it. TV signals. If you had a TV, we can tune in. The internet. I made a note of turning my phone off. There's nothing worse than the minister's phone going off, isn't it, while he's doing the service. But all the signals are there. They're all coming round. They're filling the place. Wi-Fi, internet. You cannot see them, but when you're tuned into them, you can hear them, you can speak. It's incredible. We send photos and videos to our daughter in London. We do it on WhatsApp, but there are other programs to send it in, I'm sure. We press a button, and then they've got pictures, they've got videos, and vice versa. A number of times in a week, we speak to our daughter and play games with our daughter and granddaughter through WhatsApp, but there are other programs to use. And we're just playing together. Incredible. And the Holy Spirit is all around us, just like the radio waves. He's here. And he wants us as individuals to tune in to him. But the Holy Spirit needs right conditions for the Holy Spirit to develop. We must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. That's first and foremost. And a prayer I use and have often used is this prayer. You haven't got to pray it exactly. It's just, in my limited memory now, I remember the sorry, thank you, please. And we need to say, to become a Christian, we need to say something similar to this. Lord Jesus, I am sorry that I've been going my own way. We've got to say sorry to God and the Lord Jesus. Thank you for paying the price of my self-centeredness by dying on the cross. We've got to thank the Lord Jesus and God, our Heavenly Father, for what Jesus has done for us by paying the penalty of our sin on the cross. Please come and take first place in my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Now, we could have all sorts of dreams and thoughts, and there's nothing wrong with dreams and thoughts of what we want to do. How many people asked you when you were a teenager or younger, what do you want to do when you grow up? Apart from being a steam train driver, an astronaut, and all the other things that you come out with, life often takes a very different journey, doesn't it? But we're asking God's Holy Spirit to guide us. What does God want from each one of us? How does God want us to develop our lives for His glory and for our well-being? And the right conditions for the Holy Spirit to develop. We must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. We must really want to become more like the person God wants us to be. It's no good a quick hour of prayer saying, oh God, help me do this, you know, get me out of this situation, and then we forget all about God. It's got to be something that's real within us. And we must need to want to become the person that God wants us to be. We must ask God to fill us again with the Holy Spirit. We need empowering. It's not we become Christians at one age and then 120 years later we're still fine. We need continually to pray for God's Holy Spirit to refill us, to guide us. It's an ongoing daily occurrence. We must stop doing the things that would hinder the Holy Spirit working. Those things which we know, well, we shouldn't be doing, but well, we're human, aren't we? These things that the Bible calls sin is what hinders the Holy Spirit moving and working in our lives. We must be open and accept God's timing and God's ways. Years ago, when I was young, there was a big push for falling over in the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But what's important is it's got to be God's timing. What is God doing? What is God saying? It's not for a human being to suddenly ask for something. What does God want? God treats us as individuals. He knows and loves each one of us as individuals. And God treats us as individuals. And we've got to come to God and seek the Holy Spirit as individuals. And then together, as a church, we're moving in God's ways. The Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. What does the Holy Spirit do in us, for us, with us? One, it convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit, God living within us, when we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, the Holy Spirit guides us and shows us what we shouldn't be doing and what we should be doing. If we're tuned in, remember the radio waves again, we've got to be tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. That's in John 16. Verses 5 to 11. And in Romans 8, verses 9 to 11, and Acts 2, 27 to 28, the Holy Spirit lives in us. When we become Christians, God gives us his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there, like a seed which needs to be nurtured and watered and fed so it grows and develops. The Holy Spirit lives within us when we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. The Holy Spirit guides us in what we do, our jobs, our change of jobs, our relationships. We haven't got time to tell you about when I was very young now, when I first met Jan. But God was there guiding and leading us in those early days. The Holy Spirit teaches us and helps us to remember the teaching of Jesus. And as I get older, I need this more and more. Not just remembering the teaching of Jesus. Have you ever woken up in the morning and it takes you a while? What day is it today? Does that happen to anyone? The young ones are thinking, Ron's lost it. But it's others that are nodding. We wake up and you think, what day is it? And you're trying to work it out. And then you have these four bank holiday days and it mucks up the pattern, doesn't it? Trying to work out because you've lost the routine. But the Holy Spirit seriously helps us to remember the teaching of Jesus. Reminds us of passages. And in my preparation, but the Holy Spirit's got a lot to do in me because I forget most things instantly. But there's books, concordances and things and all sorts of things that I can go to when I'm trying to find something. I'm trying to find verses, chapters, songs. The Holy Spirit leads and guides. When I go through the songs in preparation for the service, I try and pick songs that, one that you know, because it's no point. You can't worship if I choose five songs that you don't know. And I can be well away up here with the songs and you think, never heard that one. So I've got to choose songs you know, if I can. I've got to choose songs that relate to the message that I'm bringing. They've got something to say. And often I'll go through the songs and you've got, in Mission Praises, over 1,000 songs. And I'll go through some of them and some stand out. And I believe this is just the Holy Spirit leading and guiding as to what songs to have. Then you sit there and you think, I didn't like your songs today. Or you sit there and say, one was all right, or two were all right. If I'm lucky, three were all right. But it's just the way God guides and leads. And the Holy Spirit makes us holy. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. Because through our faith in Jesus Christ, we are made holy. We're sanctified through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is why Paul tells us that we're all saints. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saints. We don't need a human being 1,800 years after we're dead to decide that we would have been a saint. In God's eyes, we're all saints if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. The Holy Spirit in the lives of believers also gives joy. Sometimes it's difficult with what's happening in our lives or in our world, but there's an inner joy. Jan's all full of the joy expressively, as you know. I've got it sort of, well, it's there, the joy's there, but it's tucked away a bit, it's quieter. I'm British, but it's there. It's there. The Holy Spirit gives joy. A spiritual joy. The Holy Spirit gives discernment of what's right and what's wrong. It guides us. The Holy Spirit encourages spiritual fruit. I was just going to read from Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The Holy Spirit of God gives us, guides us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Holy Spirit working out in our lives, the fruits. And also the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. So there's the fruit of the Spirit, which should be working out in our lives. And there's the gifts of the Spirit that God gives to us. And I just pray that on this anniversary of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, we would just be open to the Holy Spirit moving and working in our lives. And I thought, if you want to, you can just say this first verse of the song as a prayer on this anniversary of Pentecost. So I'll read it out. If you want to join in and make it your prayer, then read it out yourself. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mould me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. We're going to close our service as we sing our last song. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. So we're asking God to breathe his Holy Spirit upon us and to fill us with life anew. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you and praise you for sending the Holy Spirit to us at Pentecost. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit on every person that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour and friend. Help us, Father, to encourage the Holy Spirit, to develop the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just help us to be open to what fruit you want us to produce, what gifts you may want to give us. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done, your love that you've poured out upon us and among us. We just pray now as we go to our homes, you'll be with us, that we will know your peace and your presence with us over this coming week, with whatever we may face. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.